Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is October 14th, 2019, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Crash 3, TXA for Traumatic Head Bleeds. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Salim Razai. He currently works as a community emergency physician at Greater San Antonio Emergency Physicians, where he is the Director of Clinical Education. He's also the creator and founder of the great website, blog, and podcast called Rebel EM and Rebel Cast, a free critical appraisal blog and podcast that tries to cut the KT window down from research to bedside clinical practice. Welcome back to the SGEM, Salim.
So Ken, a few things here if you don't mind. So first of all, thank you for having me back. I was so excited when you reached out to me. Number two, I cannot wait to get into the granular detail of this paper. I think you and I have been chomping at the bit to do that. And finally, it has been way, way too long since we combined the forces of the rebel and the skeptic.
It has been too long, but you know, we've both been working on our own projects, but when two FOMED friends can come together and make some good FOMED and talk nerdy, I'm always excited. And it was actually our good friend Simon Carley from St. Emlyn's who reached out to us last month and said, hey, FOMED friends, are you interested in reviewing the Crash 3 trial? It's going to be covered in The Lancet soon. And what did we say?
I mean, we both jumped on it. I mean, this is what EBM nerds do, right? We all come together. We wanted to look at this information before it was published. And again, an opportunity to work with the likes of yourself, and just I learn something new every time I do this with you. So thank you again so much. And I think we were both real keen on getting in on this paper.
Yeah, we're going to cut that KT window down from over 10 years to less than one day. This was published today in The Lancet. And you're at a conference, right?
I am. I'm in New Orleans at the EMS World Expo conference.
And I had a 12-hour shift today in Dunnville at the Haldeman War Memorial Hospital. So shout out to all the nurses and staff at Dunnville. Had a great shift. And at the end of my shift, the end of your conference, we said, we've got to lay down the podcast because we've done the critical appraisal. It's just been published. Let's get her done. So what's the case?
So a 42-year-old man falls off a backyard deck. He arrives at the emergency department via EMS with a GCS score of 10 and both of his pupils being reactive. He's hemodynamically stable and sent for a stat head CT. The CT demonstrates a traumatic intracranial hemorrhage. You wonder if you should give tranexamic acid while you wait for neurosurgery to call you back.
The TXA is a synthetic derivative of lysine that inhibits fibrinolysis and thus stabilizes clots that are formed. We have covered TXA as a treatment a number of times on the SGEM. The evidence for TXA providing a patient-oriented outcome, or a POO, has been mixed. It seems to work for epistaxis, failed to cause a decrease in all-cause mortality in postpartum hemorrhage, did not demonstrate an improved neurologic outcome in hemorrhagic strokes, but it did have a 1.5% absolute mortality reduction in adult trauma patients.
Rebel EM has also looked at TXA for those conditions, plus a few others. It's unclear if it provides a benefit for gastrointestinal bleeds. We'll have to see what the HALT-IT trial is going to show us. Nebulized tranexamic acid shows some promise for both post-tonsillectomy bleeding and hemoptysis, but to be completely fair, we need better studies in order to confirm that observation.
Well, you've also covered a systematic review and meta-analysis on TXA for traumatic brain injuries. What were the results of that study?
Yeah, so the paper you're talking about is Zatopchi et al., and he found only two high-quality randomized clinical trials with 510 patients having traumatic brain injury that met inclusion criteria. And the result? No statistical difference in in-hospital mortality or unfavorable neurologic functional status. However, there was a statistical reduction in intracranial hematoma expansion size with TXA compared to placebo.
And now? We have the release of Crash 3. What's the clinical question?
Does TXA have a mortality benefit in patients with isolated head trauma?
And what's the official reference for this?
CRASH III Trial Collaborators, Effects of Tranexamic Acid on Death, Disability, Vascular Occlusive Events, and Other Morbidities in Patients with Acute Traumatic Injury, CRASH III, a randomized placebo-controlled trial, published today, as in hours ago, in The Lancet, October 2019.
All right, let's run through that. PICO, what was the population, Salim?
Adult patients 16 years of age and older with traumatic brain injuries with a GCS score of 12 or lower, or any intracranial bleed on CT scan, and no extracranial bleeding treated within 3 hours of injury.
Now, they excluded people less than the age of 16, those that had extracranial bleeding or greater than 8 hours since injury. Now, they did change that, and they limited it to if it was greater than 3 hours from September 2016. That's when they made that change. How about the intervention?
What we traditionally see and what we saw in CRASH II, which is tranexamic acid 1 gram infused over 10 minutes, followed by an infusion of another 1 gram over the next 8 hours.
And what did they compare it to?
Saline placebo.
All right, let's run through the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
Head injury-related deaths within 28 days.
And secondary outcomes?
So there was a list of them, so let me just list them here one at a time. Early head injury deaths less than 24 hours, all-cause and specific mortality, disability, vascular occlusive events including myocardial infarction, stroke, and venous thromboembolism, seizures, complications, neurosurgery, and days in the ICU, adverse events within 28 days, and also a subgroup analysis.
The author's conclusions were, quote, "Our results show that tranexamic acid is safe in patients with TBI and that treatment within 3 hours of injury reduces head injury-related death. Patients should be treated as soon as possible after injury," end of quote. All right, let's run through the quality checklist for randomized control trials. Are these emergency patients?
Yes.
Did they adequately randomize them?
Yes, they were.
Did they conceal the randomization?
Yes.
Did they do an intention to treat analysis?
Yes, they did.
Did they recruit the patients consecutively?
It's kind of hard to say from the paper, so unsure.
Were both groups similar with respect to prognostic factors?
Yes.
Were all the participants unaware of group allocation?
Yes.
Did they treat everybody equally except for the intervention?
Yes.
Was the follow-up complete?
Yes, it was.
Did they include all patient-important outcomes?
Yes, I believe they did.
And the last question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
So I think this is what we're going to get into, but I'm going to officially say unsure.
All right, let's go through the key results. The CRASH III investigators randomly allocated almost 13,000 patients with traumatic brain injuries to receive either TXA or placebo. Now, there were 9,000 plus patients who were enrolled within 3 hours of injury. The mean age was 42 years, 80% were male, and 80% had both pupils reactive, and about two-thirds had a GCS less than 12. But what was the big take-home result?
I feel like I'm about to pop everyone's balloon here, but no statistical difference in head injury-related mortality with tranexamic acid compared to placebo.
Yeah, and the details on that was death due to head injury, and it was 18.5% in the TXA group versus 19.8% in the placebo group. And that gave you a relative risk of 0.94 favoring TXA, but the confidence interval spanned 1. The upper limit of the 95% confidence interval was 1.02. How about the secondary outcomes?
So there was a number of secondary outcomes that I think we should just list in a table in the show notes, but there were 2 statistically significant results. And those were less head injury deaths within the first 24 hours and in the subgroup of patients with milder injuries, GCS of 9 to 15.
Yeah, and they also looked at disability, and that was similar between both groups. And there was no evidence on increasing vascular events, seizures, complications, or adverse events. We're not able to find in the manuscript data on neurosurgery or days in the ICU. All right, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the gold, Jerry, the gold. I love talking nerdy. And so first of all, I have to give a shout out to the CRASH III trial collaborators. This was a large multinational study looking at a very important question, and they need to be commended for successfully completing and getting this study published.
Yeah, I agree, and I think they did a great job as we went through your checklist of things, Ken. I think most of us would agree, but just because they did a good job, I think both of us also agree that all studies will have some limitations, and those things need to be considered when we interpret the results. And so let's do what your favorite number is, 5. Let's talk about 5 things we identified and want to discuss.
Oh, you just know me too well, Salim. All right, so the first thing is selection bias. We are unsure if there was any selection bias in this trial. Patients were eligible if the recruiting clinician was uncertain as to the appropriateness of TXA. No denominator was provided for how many people were screened to get into the study. They did state, though, in the manuscript that, quote, almost all patients with TBI who met inclusion criteria were recruited, but do not provide the actual number. Because of the subjective nature of the inclusion and exclusion, based on recruiting clinicians' uncertainty, could have introduced selection bias into this study.
And then one of the things we both picked up on is the wide confidence intervals. And the confidence intervals were wide for a point estimate of the primary outcome, relative risk of head injury-related death. It ranged from a large effect size of 0.86, but also crossed the line of no difference, 1.02. That doesn't mean we can't conclude TXA does not work, but rather that it did not demonstrate a statistical benefit. The point estimate did favor TXA over placebo with a relative risk of 0.94. Unfortunately, the width of the 95% confidence interval and the upper limit crossing the 1.0 mark decreases the certainty of any conclusions that can be made.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point to get home. We are not going to claim that TXA does not work, just rather that we haven't been convinced that it does work. And that is an important difference to make. The third thing is all-cause versus head injury mortality. The authors considered many patient-oriented outcomes, or POOs. While their primary outcome was head injury-related mortality, a more important patient-oriented outcome would be overall mortality. The patient and their families usually do not care what they die of, but whether or not they did die. We saw this in the woman trial, where overall mortality was not decreased, but the paper highlighted the statistically significant decrease in postpartum hemorrhage-related deaths.
And I think external validity is important here. So this study was done in 28 countries, with the majority being middle to low-income countries. Canada had one center, and the U.S. had no participating centers. They did do an analysis based on income that was not pre-specified. That did not show a statistical difference. However, the question still remains on whether tranexamic acid would have a clinically important impact in a higher income country such as the United States or in a trauma system much like the United States. And this trial, unfortunately, did not have sites that we can answer that question based off of.
The fifth and final point was about subgroup analysis. While the subgroup analyses were pre-specified, they are underpowered to draw any strong conclusions. We should be cautious not to overinterpret the results of CRASH 3. All right, let's comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
So overall, we agree that TXA does appear to be safe, but think the claim about decreased head injury-related death is a bit misleading. This is because it was only for a subgroup of patients. If TXA is given, then giving it as soon as possible seems to be reasonable.
All right, well, how about a bottom line then?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is we cannot recommend the routine use of TXA for patients with isolated traumatic brain injuries at this time.
Yeah, we feel that the burden of proof has not been met to accept the claim that TXA provides a patient-oriented benefit in patients with traumatic brain injuries. It would be wrong for us to claim that it does not work, but rather our position is that it's not been proven to work. Can you resolve the case you presented?
So you decide not to give TXA and decide to leave it up to the neurosurgeon.
All right, and how are you going to take this CRASH 3 trial? And you've covered a lot of papers on REBEL-EM that focus in on TXA for various bleeding conditions. How are you going to take this new CRASH III trial that deals with traumatic intracranial hemorrhages and apply it clinically?
So I think as clinicians, we all have different thresholds of evidence to convince us to change practice. And the effect size of tranexamic acid in patients with TBI was really small in this paper. The confidence intervals were wide, and the upper end of the 95% confidence interval crossed the line of no statistical difference. So the evidence was even less convincing when looking at the more patient-oriented outcome of all-cause mortality. And while there are subgroup analyses showing efficacy in certain cohorts, which is super interesting, the groups were underpowered to provide a clear answer on how to apply this information.
Yeah, and I have a number of concerns on how this trial will be interpreted and applied. One aspect is the, quote, spin on the article. People may highlight the significant relative reduction of death in a subgroup rather than focusing on the lack of statistical difference of an absolute reduction in overall mortality. And again, this was seen in the woman's trial, and we need to be cautious not to do this with CRASH III by overhyping and overinterpreting the results.
And let's not forget, it's well recognized that when you look at the efficacy of a treatment, it decreases when you apply it outside of a strict environment of a research trial. So applying this protocol to the community setting would likely dilute and negate any possible benefit of TXA for patients with isolated traumatic brain injury.
Well, I'm also concerned that they'll create some quality metric to monitor me and that I have to adhere to provide TXA to these adult patients with traumatic brain injuries within 3 hours. And this could be tied to physician or hospital pay despite the weak underlying evidence. It's not like we haven't seen this before, Salim. Just think TPA for acute ischemic stroke, or how about that 30 cc's per kilogram of IV crystalloid within the first hour for septic patients?
How about even add to that antibiotics in the first hour in septic patients, which is a whole nother conversation altogether. So, but let's also not forget, Ken, like this is a cognitive load and it draws attention away from other things. So adding an additional treatment, which may or may not provide a patient-oriented benefit, is just one more thing to add to that list and consider when managing a trauma patient. And while we're paying more attention to that individual, we'll be decreasing our attention to many of the other undifferentiated patients in the department. And those other patients might have time-dependent emergencies as well, whose treatment could be impacted negatively.
All right, one more thing. This is the last thing. The low cost of TXA may also be used as an argument for using it in these patients. However, this is irrelevant if it doesn't provide a patient-oriented outcome. And there are also millions of people who suffer from traumatic brain injuries every year worldwide. And if you take a small number and multiply it by millions of patients, it will eventually add up to a lot of money. All right, so what are you going to tell the patient?
So you tell the family that their loved one has a serious brain injury. You've called the neurosurgeons, and they're coming down shortly to talk about the best available treatments.
All right, it's time to announce the Keener Contest winner. And last week's winner was E.S. Rosenberg, an EMT from Israel. This is a back-to-back win for Eliyahu. He knew that Esquinio Sobrero is the person that invented nitroglycerin. Now, this question caught a few people who thought it was Alfred Nobel of the Nobel Prize fame. While he is responsible for commercializing nitroglycerin, he was not the person that invented nitroglycerin. All right, Salim, what's the question this week?
What year was tranexamic acid first made?
Well, if you know the answer, then send it to me, thesgem@gmail.com, with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Now, there is a number of other FOMED resources and opinions on this, so we're going to encourage you to check out what other people think. And of course, always go back to the primary literature and read the CRASH III trial for yourself. Well, thanks again, Salim, for coming on the SGEM. Let's not make it as long as it was this time.
I agree, and I think we need to get you onto Rebel Cast here pretty soon. It's been a while since we've done that as well. Always, always fun recording with you, Ken.
I'd love to do it with you. We're going to see each other, though, soon, coming up at ASAP, right?
Oh, I think that might be a good excuse for us to put some nerdy EBM together while we're there.
I look forward to it. Can you read the tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.